Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey of the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Expanding Your Faith. I'm Bishop Greer, and joining me tonight is Reverend Mark.
Greetings, friends.
And Bishop Ben.
Blessings to all.
So, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. So, we're, as usual, going to talk about being thankful in a thankless world. Right now, it seems that it's kind of hard to be thankful. With everything going on in the world around us. But we want to take a moment and kind of reflect upon those good things in life, those things that are stable and kind of give us some hope for the future and that kind of thing. And talk about how we can keep our spirit of thankfulness even when the world around us seems to be falling apart. So that was kind of our idea for tonight. And of course, we know that it's extremely hard when you're getting together with family that aren't necessarily the most loving and caring and thoughtful individuals. But we don't have to let those people damage or destroy or take our joy and our thankfulness just because of their bad behavior. So,
yeah. When you said that we were doing a Thanksgiving podcast, I was hoping you were going to talk about our recipes for dressing or how we prepare our turkeys, all that stuff. No, I'm just kidding. My grandmother used to make candied sweet potatoes. Those are always good.
We ought to do an episode before Thanksgiving. Maybe next year we'll do a episode of just Thanksgiving food.
Thanksgiving. There you go. We can do it for Christmas.
Christmas.
Yep. Our favorite Christmas cookie. Woohoo!
Do our favorite Christmas recipes.
Our ugly Christmas sweater.
I actually had one of two Thanksgiving dinners that I have week of Thanksgiving. I had with my family. Our family traditionally does Thanksgiving either the weekend before Thanksgiving or two weekends before, for whatever reason. That's a in the last 6-7 year thing. But it can be difficult, especially when you're surrounded by people that don't celebrate you, or the flip side of it, they have their own issues that they're going through, and instead of keeping that under wrap, sometimes they bring that to the Thanksgiving table. That makes for interesting conversation, for sure. I think last year on the podcast, and then I know we had done this at our church, I think the year before, where we had a little retreat about dealing with difficult people, learning how to set yourself up for success. I think didn't we do that at podcast last year?
Yes, that
was great. Exchange of information, you know, how to have an escape if you need to out of the situation. So that's good. I think the topic that we are tackling tonight will lend us to similar discussion as far as preparing for being around maybe groups of people. Of course, the holiday season coming up. There's a lot of writings in the New Testament. Paul has a lot of writings where he talks extensively about linking prayer with thanksgiving, linking our daily attitudes and thinking towards God with thanksgiving, having a grateful heart. I think it's a development of just a constant mindset, because so often we forget that it's important for us to embrace gratitude and thankfulness all the time. The writings don't tell us to be thankful for all things, but be thankful in all things. In other words, I don't have to say, God, thank you for this person who's being rude to me or cutting me off in traffic, or the family member that's giving me a shellacking with their words. We're not taught to be thankful for those particular things, but be thankful in those things. And I think it's a vital topic that we shouldn't just limit to this time of the year.
And for those that want to go back and listen, the episode Reverend Mark was talking about is called Soul Safe, How to Have Difficult Discussions Around the Holidays. That's Season 7, Episode 5, wherever you get your podcast of Expanding Your Faith. And that was a good podcast about how we deal with those difficult people during the holidays. And I think this does dovetail well with that, how we keep our thankfulness and how we continue to love and support others even in the midst of those difficult times. You know, I know Thanksgiving in my family, it kind of ranged depending on...
Ranged?
The year and how much alcohol was available.
What was the range? Mild to wild?
Mild to wild, yes. We either had a really good Thanksgiving where everybody behaved, or you know, we had to drag people away before they started stripping on the coffee table. You know,
my. All kind of adventures.
There were a couple of Thanksgivings where it got out and knocked down, drag out fights between family members and that kind of thing. So, I mean, my family didn't exactly have the most sane of Thanksgiving get-togethers. So, I understand how difficult it can be to kind of walk that path at Thanksgiving time. And a lot of times you are getting together with family that you may not have seen for, you know, a whole year. You know, it may have been last Thanksgiving or Christmas since the last time you saw them. You know, and so they have a year of baggage that they want to carry in with them, and you don't really have the capacity to deal with a year's worth of baggage from family members. And the trauma dumping at times like Thanksgiving and Christmas is also a big issue.
Yeah.
You know, family members feel like they have the right to just kind of trauma dump on everybody because they haven't seen them in a while and whatnot. So,
directly and indirectly sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Right. Very much so. So it can be very difficult sometimes to deal with.
Other dynamics in families getting together, especially if you have a large family, is you have people there you've never met before.
Right.
You know, somebody brings a significant other, or you know, family person that hasn't that has invited a friend. My family here locally, we had a blending of two families. My father and my stepmother, they got married when all the children, my sister and I, and then her four children, were all grown, and they had already started their families. And so there has been some tension for us, really not between the siblings, but there has just been this, we don't know people, you know, new people come in, and so there can be a lot of difficult moments when you're sitting around the table with familiar people that maybe you have good rapport with, and then somebody you have no, you know, that day was the first time you've ever met. So there, holidays, just like you said, there's a lot of times range with families, and those dynamics can be difficult. I know with, like, my parents growing up, I saw my parents argue, but they never yelled and screamed, there was never anything physical or berating in front of us. But when we would go to my grandmother's, I had some family members that's how they communicated, was the yelling and the screaming. And so you're kind of like, you know, what do? You know, should we leave? Should I go in the next room for a while? So it can be a challenge. And we lose sight of why we even get together, which is very sad at times.
I know that around the holidays, my family had a tradition. My uncle would bring over his 3-DVD set of VHS, was back then, set of Star Wars, and that would be playing.
Oh, there you go. That's all right. That's
during the family get together, which a couple of years inspired, you know, fights, just simply because they were tired of watching Star Wars every Thanksgiving and Christmas. So, you know, and also when you, you know, interject the dynamic of people you don't know, you know, especially when it's, you know, somebody that a family member's dating or you know, maybe living with for a long period of time, you also don't want to be the cause of why they have problems.
Yeah.
So that ends up being kind of in the back of your mind, too. Oh, I have to be on my best behavior. But Uncle Jeff in the corner, who's had way too much to drink, doesn't get the memo.
Yeah, so, too much eggnog.
So that creates for a whole different ball of wax as well at the holidays. My family could not celebrate holidays like that without alcohol. And to me, sometimes alcohol just makes family dynamics worse.
Sure.
You know, I think that if possible, it's always good to try to keep alcohol out of those family get-togethers, just simply to avoid some of the problems and conflicts that arise when someone gets a little too lubricated and decides to begin hashing out all of their woes and anger at various family members and whatnot. And because it will certainly, I mean, they call it being lubed up for a reason. I mean, it will certainly loosen your mouth up and your brain does not engage before your mouth does.
No, and it right. And in particular those moments, you have to, why are you there? Right. And that's why I think it's important for us to embrace those scriptures embrace those practices where in all things, but not for all things, where we offer up thankfulness. And I think if you just dissect that for a few moments, a lot of people, oh, well, what can I be thankful for? Because, you know, they're screaming, they're yelling, they're bringing up the past. You know, I'm triggered by this, or I'm triggered by that, or I'm reminded of this. And yeah, those things are real. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, your emotions are real. God gave them to us for a reason. That way we could deeply feel what we're feeling. Sometimes we don't like what we're feeling. Sometimes we're uncomfortable with it. But the question is, what are you going to do with it? You know? And in that moment, when you're able to ask those questions, that's a moment to be thankful, because you are able to ask those questions. What do I do with this? How do I grow from this? How do I respond to this? You know, to be thankful that your brain is going in that direction. Because some people don't have that information. Some people don't have that training. Some people don't have that understanding. You know, thankfully, I'm able to walk away from those some of those situations. Thankfully, I'm able to just keep eating my mac and cheese while everybody's yelling and screaming. There's so many things that you can be thankful for. Sometimes we have to look harder. Sometimes we have to open our eyes because we're so wrapped up in ourselves, or we're so wrapped up in technology. Sometimes we have to open ourselves up and say, what do I have the right, what can I be thankful for? And, you know, you can have 1,000 things going wrong, but you have 2 or 3 things going right. Those are the moments in those times we're thankful. Okay, I'm able to work this problem. I'm able to figure out there's a solution. How do I get there? And so forth. Thankful that I have the air to breathe. Thankful that I'm here to tackle that problem. There's so many ways, and it sounds so simplistic, but when you start practicing those things, it takes your eye off of, you know, the world's falling apart, and it's just terrible. Because not all the world is falling apart, and not all the world is terrible. There are good people, there are loving people, and as long as there's a few, there's hope.
Absolutely. And of course, we just the ability to be together with family. You know, there are so many people around the world who don't get that opportunity. You know, their family lives so far away, or their family passed since the last Thanksgiving. You know, so just the ability to be with those people is sometimes enough to be thankful for. I look at here locally, you know, we're entering Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday, missing, you know, over 200 people in our area who died just recently during Hurricane Helene. Those are 200, potentially 200 families. We're entering Thanksgiving and Christmas without loved ones. They had with them the year before. And so, you know, there is still a lot to be thankful for in our world, even when it doesn't feel like it. And so I'm thankful that, you know, our family was, we didn't lose anybody during the hurricane. And we had, you know, a little bit of damage to the house, but the house is still livable, you know. And so, unlike, you know, a mutual friend of Reverend Mark and I, Dr. Sid Gates, he lost his home. It's completely destroyed by the hurricane. So they're spending their holiday, you know, either in rental or a hotel or something this year, because they don't have a home. So, you know, there's still a lot to be thankful for this Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because I was having dinner last night with some friends, and we were talking about, you know, his mother. She sustained a good bit of damage to our house. Some of the roof has to be completely rebuilt and so forth. Brick on the side of the house was ripped off when a tree hit it. But then he stopped and he said, but we're not living in tents where it could be so much worse. I mean, there are people in North Carolina that's been their home for many weeks, is living in a tent or living in temporary shelter. And by temporary shelter, you know, just small little throw up places that FEMA or the National Guard has put out for them. Having to be completely disparate because your home literally has been swept away. And I step back and I have shingles missing off my roof and I have temporary covering over it. I'm fighting stuff with the insurance company. And yeah, it's all a headache. It's all awful. But I have a house I can go into. I've been decorating for Christmas because that's one of my joyful holidays. And I'll be celebrating Thanksgiving with friends this week, cooking dinner. It's one of my favorite things to do, is to make dinner and serve people and have people over and just enjoy the time together. So, I'm inconvenienced. I'm not, well, it's like we talked about a few weeks ago on a podcast, you know, are you being tested? Are you going through a trial, or are you just being inconvenienced? You know, are you suffering? Or just in, and some of it's just, we're just inconvenienced. You know, I've got to do some work on, just some regular work on my car, regular maintenance stuff the other day. And I got down to the dumps about it for a minute because I was like, ugh, well, there went some Christmas money and there went this money that I was, and then I stopped myself and said, well, thank God I had the money to actually do what I need to have done. Whereas in times past, I didn't, you know, I didn't have the ability to do that. And so we have to remind ourselves, you know, we may not have everything we want, but our God supplies our needs. And I'm thankful that I have needs met, thankful that I have things that I can do with those needs being met. So you just have to pause and survey the land sometimes.
Very much so. Very much so. So it is not always easy to be thankful in the holidays, pointed out. But there are things to be thankful for. We don't. We still have, you know, basic freedoms, and we still have the ability to gather with family and friends. We still have US rooms over our heads. I was, I saw a posting from an acquaintance of mine up in Asheville, North Carolina yesterday, now, mind you. And she was saying that she was thankful this year that yesterday they finally got the notice that they no longer have to boil their water in Asheville. The water system is now once again contained and is safe for drinking. And I'm thinking all these weeks and months after the hurricane, they're just now getting to the point where they have water again. And now that is something to be thankful for. You know, we have a friend who comes in here regularly. She's been now 2 months without water in her home because of an issue between her and a family member who, you know, paid the bills for the water. And, you know, having to take cold showers. And, you know, her kids having to take cold showers. Things like that. Because they were using, you know, bottled water. Or, you know, bring in buckets of water. We have a lot to be thankful for this year. And I think that it's important that we keep those things in mind as we move through the holiday season. Yes, Thanksgiving and Christmas will be a little different for a lot of people, a lot of concerns about what the future holds. But in some regards, the future is not here yet. We don't know what everything is going to bring. So it's time to stop for just this moment and be thankful for what we have in this moment. Let the future take care of itself. Let the past take care of itself. And just be in this moment.
Yeah, there's a lot of writings in the book of Proverbs that tells us about preparing and being prudent and looking to the future and having your life prepared. A lot of people can read stuff like that and translate, well, I need to think through all this stuff about what may happen in the future. I need to get myself prepared for this scenario, that scenario, this scenario. I think we should be mindful of what may happen tomorrow. But Jesus told us, tomorrow will take care of itself. Things will happen, but tomorrow will take care of itself. While we can prepare, and I think we should do the best that we can for tomorrow, like going to the store, making sure you have enough food for tomorrow, that type of stuff. Stepping back and just worrying beyond measure, well, this may happen, that may happen. I used to create so many scenarios in my head about the things that might happen, the things that might come along, the issues that might I might find myself in, that I can't go to sleep because I'm so anxious about stuff, and I have to tell myself, what can I do about that right now? If the answer is nothing, especially when you're laying in bed, then move on. Allow yourself to rest. And sometimes I have to tell myself that little, I have to ask myself that question three or four, six times. And, what can I do about it right now? Nothing. Then be present. I need to rest. I need to recuperate. Let me handle that when I have to handle it. Let me do what I can when it's time for me to handle that. And so we have to pull back and again take the survey of the land, take inventory, that we can embrace with a thankful heart that we're able to meet those things when they come. Okay? There's some things that it's like, okay, it's not the end of the world if I don't do this. It's not the end of the world if this doesn't go the way I think. Because ultimately, we work ourselves up into a frenzy over 52 different scenarios, and none of them happen. And we've just sat there and worried ourselves to death.
Right.
And sometimes it's easier said than done. I have to practice what I preach along those lines quite often. I value thinking ahead and trying to have vision, trying to have, when it comes to what I should do at church or my own life. And I think there's a thing to have goals, and it's productive to have goals because, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time.
Right.
But at the same time, the world is not going to end if I don't methodically check each one of those goals off my list. It's okay.
Well, on the same note, Mark was talking about how we dread to fantasize about making everything okay and making it happen for the holiday seasons and stuff, and people stressing out over things. You know, it's a matter of how you deal with the stress. It's a matter of what you make of it, too. And I do get that family dynamic plays a big hand in holiday seasons, especially to get together and stuff. But Reverend Mark is correct on a lot of his stuff is correct, 100% correct, spot on. I agree with him on the thing of how do you deal with that stress? You know, you can't fix it. You know, you can't fix what went on in the past. The only thing you can fix is the future. You know, so it's a matter of how you deal with it. It's not worth the time and effort to stress over something that's already happened in the past. It's not worth it. It's just a matter of finding your inner peace and finding how to make peace with that situation.
Well, and yes, our perception's a big deal of how we deal with situations. And of course, we bring our own baggage into each situation. You know, that's something that, you know, I've had to learn, especially since my breakdown several years ago, is that my perceptions now of events tend to be skewed more than they used to be. You know, they're skewed more towards an emotional view. Back when I would compartmentalize and tuck away things, I could go into situations analytically, emotionless, and, you know, view a situation, view a scenario without, you know, dealing with the emotion that's involved in it. But after my breakdown, I don't compartmentalize as well anymore. And so I tend to be more emotional when looking at situations. And so my perception of the situation is skewed now by emotion. And so I have to make a conscious effort to stop and go, okay, I recognize that my emotions are playing a factor here. What is my stuff and what's actually going on here? You know?
And great questions.
That's hard sometimes, especially when you're with family and things, because, you know, a family member comes at you hot and heavy with something. Like Reverend Mark's Sermon Sunday, we tend to react rather than respond.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, reacting is something you do in the moment. You know, the minute it happens without really thinking about it, just going with what's happening around you. And whereas, you know, sometimes you need to take a moment and think about it, reflect on it, and respond with a rational, reasoned response. And so my therapist several years ago told me that a good thing to do is for me to stop and count 10. And in that moment, then give my emotions a moment to settle so that I can think rationally again about what's going on around me. And that saved me many a fight. When I forget it, it's caused me many a fight. But that's good advice, especially going into the situations with family. You know, we know a lot about our families, and we know what buttons to push and what triggers they have and everything else. And it's real easy to want to respond, or not respond, but react to their stuff by pushing a button. You know, especially when Aunt Sally is sitting there preaching to you about something and being all hateful and condescending and everything else, you just want to push that button. But sometimes the better part of valor is to take a breath and go, should I even respond to what they're saying? You know, what good will it do for me to respond? Will I make a difference? Will I change the situation? Not necessarily change their mind, but change the situation, you know. And if the answer is no, then maybe the best thing to do is just to walk away from Aunt Sally and let her live in her delusion and let her live in her little world.
Yeah. You know, in my past, I've had experiences, especially working in the Baptist church. I had a great music minister teach me this. And sadly, I didn't learn it when I was in seminary school, but I should have. But he taught me this when, because he was a music minister, and we were charged with the media stuff, like lighting and sound and stuff. He said in certain situations, it's better just to be proactive than reactive. And he said, use that as a life guide for every situation. It's better to be proactive than reactive. It'll keep you out of trouble. And he was right about that, 100% on everything he said about that. And I have used that lesson in everything I do now in my life, as far as chaplaincy, being a priest, even in family dynamics. I use that too. And it's helped me stay out of trouble on many occasions.
Well, and I think that's a good point too. You know, if you walk into the room and people are having a conversation that you know is going to trigger you and is going to make you want to react, sometimes the better part of valor is to turn around and walk out of the room. You know, hey, I'm not going to engage in this. I'm not going to put my energy into that situation. I said this last Thanksgiving when we talked about having difficult discussions with family members. And that is, there's also nothing wrong with just saying, you know what, I've reached my limit of family today. It's time for me to go. I think we all too often, I know I do, we tend to try to soldier through situations. And that's where we create a lot of headache and heartache for ourselves. And we lose our joy, we lose our thankfulness and everything else because we try to be Superman or Superwoman. And I'm going to stick with this even though my energy is tapped out, I'm emotionally drained, I should have left an hour ago. You know, there's nothing wrong with leaving a situation like that where you have just reached your limit. And so, I mean, I would encourage you as part of protecting your own emotional health, protecting your ability to be thankful and things, that when you do reach that limit, just say, you know what, I got to go. It's time for me to head home, you know. You don't owe it to anyone to put yourself at risk to be there.
Not at all. And, you know, there's been times I've prepared myself, you know, going into a family situation or a different dynamic of what I would say or how I would respond. And I think that's important from the standpoint of, like you said, keeping the arguments away. And for the most part, when you have a predetermined, you know, this is the type of response or this is the type of attitude I'm going to have when I respond, I think that is definitely avoids the arguments and for the most part will diffuse situations. You know, especially if you're involved in areas where, you know, you're going to have different views on who you are, maybe politics or things like that. You have to step back and say, I'm just not going to engage in that, or I'm going to, you know, thank you, but no thank you. And then, I mean, you don't have to stand up and announce to the whole society, to the whole room, okay, I'm done now because y'all have all worn me out, you know, just simply, well, I need to go ahead and leave and make quiet exit or say the goodbyes to the people you need to, and you move on. You know, there's no sense in, you know, stirring the pot on your way out the door. So there's been many a times that I've had to do that in various scenarios, situations, there's been times where I needed to take a breather at work, or, you know, take a breather from something I was working on, or social interaction. Especially if I sense that I'm low energy, if I know I'm low energy and I've got to participate in maybe a social gathering with church, and I'm very measured in my responses, knowing that low energy for me equals usually unchecked emotion. So I know that. And it's not anybody's fault, or not anybody's, you know, y'all did this to me. No, it's just how I'm wired, and I need to, you know, embrace my limitations and then withdraw to what, you know, gives me my energy back. So, you know, knowing, you know, there's been times where, you know, the family wanted to play a game or something, and normally I'm a game person, but if my social meter has pegged out, it's okay for you to step back and go, no, thank you. Or, I'm going to sit this one out. I'm going to just enjoy watching y'all do your thing. So, or just easily excuse yourself. So, knowing those things about you, knowing that, like you said, sometimes our emotions run very high, and we know that if we don't take proper measures, we will not, you know, it's very hard to pull words back. I don't know anybody that's been able to effectively just pull all their words back. Once you say them and they fly out of your mouth, life and death is in the power of our tongues. So we have to be very, very careful.
I want to say Blackbird posted, I humbly disagree. I've been attacked on a regular basis. There are many times when I have to defend myself or my community. I agree. There are times where those types of arguments and those types of stand your ground moments, as it were, are very necessary. You know, and there are those times when you must defend yourself and your greater community from attack. And what we're discussing is not necessarily those moments, but moments where, you know, certain family members just are trying to rile up a fight just to have a fight, you know. But certainly there are times when, you know, it is important that you defend yourself in the community. And that's where taking that moment before you respond, to respond rather than react, comes in handy, to be able to know, is this a situation where I need to defend myself and my community, or is this just Aunt Sally being a dick as usual?
Yeah.
And so I would encourage people to take that moment and decide, is this one of those moments where I need to defend my community? Or is this just a moment where I need to walk away? Blackbird says, we in the indigenous communities are constantly attacked by folks. And I get that. Yes, certainly. And those attacks have grown more and more over the last few years, given the political landscape we live in. And unfortunately, we may not see the end of it for a while.
But, you know, I was gonna say, you know, too, and I didn't mean to cut you off, so I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You know, I was gonna say that, you know, and Blackbird's correct about that too, and you are too. I was gonna head with, you know, we in this society in America, we celebrate Thanksgiving, but we actually forget how Thanksgiving started and what it was surrounded by. It was surrounded by a lot of darkness. Just be honest about that. So, you know, indigenous people were hurt, maimed, unalived. You name it, it's been done. The atrocities, and people forget about that. They don't want to focus on the atrocities, but they want to focus on the fake feel-good feelings. And sometimes that's what people like Blackbird and his community and people of color, they around this time, they feel what is there to be thankful for?
Right.
So it makes it hard for them to actually celebrate something that doesn't really mean anything to them.
Right. Well, it's not Thanksgiving for them.
No.
Exactly.
Of course not.
And as I've said every year when we've done this podcast for Thanksgiving, I don't celebrate it for the history of what happened, because there's nothing to celebrate in that. We don't celebrate genocide. We don't celebrate abuse. We don't celebrate that.
No.
But it is a time for remembering that that is part of the history, and to renew our pledge to make sure that things like that never happen again.
Yeah.
You know, and it is important that we walk in solidarity with those communities during this time of remembrance for them. You know, and I very much understand that it's a difficult time right now because of the history that Thanksgiving has. And I am thankful for all of the help the Indigenous communities gave in a most difficult time to those of my ancestors and others who came here with not necessarily the best of intentions, a very nefarious intention. And so, but I'm also thankful that we have an ability now to look at that truthfully and to pledge that we're not going to let that happen again. We're going to do everything in our power to support and love and embrace all communities in this melting pot we call America. So I think that that's important to remember too at this time of year. So final thoughts, Reverend?
Well, I I step back and I believe, as you were saying, that this is a time that, of course, we don't embrace the utter evil that was perpetrated on the Indigenous people that lived here, you know, centuries ago and had lived here for centuries. We've talked about that multiple times, and it's hard to step back and say that we want to find some good in the middle of all the chaos. We want to find some good in the midst of what is destruction or what's being torn down and the erosion of our ability to have discourse and to have disagreements and to have a desire for a wholeness in the future for everybody.
Right.
And it is hard at times to look through the fog of, you know, bigotry or racism or injustice or just pure terrible rhetoric and say there is good. You know, and if there's anything that taught me that was us going through the hurricane, you know, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been terrible in the midst of, and at the end of the day, we were alive and we were functioning and able to move forward. This quote can be taken very wrong if you don't listen to what I'm trying to say with it. There's a quote that I read from The Art of War by Sun Tzu that really kind of, I don't attribute it to war. You know, I don't believe in allowing yourself to be walked all over at all. That's not what we're talking about here. But the quote is, "He who triumphs knows when to fight and when not to fight." There are times that we engage, and there's times that we withdraw, and there's times that we stand our ground. And it's important for us to develop that understanding. Not every disagreement, not every moment that we feel uncomfortable is the time that we engage in combative communication and in combative ways. And it's important for us to remember that in days like this, where it's, you pick your battles. You pick, you know, when people are able to hear you. You pick your battles when people are able to understand where you're coming from. If I sense that somebody's completely closed off and they're combative, me getting combative, how does that ever resolve a situation? And especially if you know the person, you know, if alcohol is involved, the answer is walk away.
Right.
You know, walk away from somebody that's willing to fight and be combative. And so, you know, I kind of wanted to drop that in there and just encourage people to look through these moments in which there's difficulty and to pick your moments in which, you know, don't suffer abuse, don't suffer somebody physically harming you and go, well, I can't do anything right now, because no, you, if you can get away, walk away, run away, whatever you got to do to get away, absolutely. But also remember, there, you know, you have the opportunity for better, you have the opportunity for a tomorrow, and especially when you wake up in it, and to be grateful that we have that opportunity each day that we wake up to make life something, makes good in life.
Excellent. Bishop Bennett, your final thoughts?
Well, in this coming holidays, I just encourage everybody to be mindful of what the holiday season means to them and their traditions, whether it be a day of remembrance or a day of celebration or whatever it may be for them, their tradition for their family. We're coming up together. We're all celebrating these holidays all together. We're all supposed to be one humankind. I just urge everybody to celebrate with peace, compassion, and love, and keep strong.
Excellent. Thank you. My final thought is this. I am thankful for all of the wonderful people that are around me every day, that provide support and love and care. Those people that know I'm not perfect and that I make mistakes and that I still have a lot to learn and a lot to grow. I'm thankful for those people who are slowly work to educate me, that walk patiently with me to know that I'm a work in progress. And I'm thankful that we do have the ability for a tomorrow. You know, that we can continue to move forward, make changes in our world, try to bring about peace and love and kindness in the world around us, despite everything else that goes on around us. That we're going to resist the calls for violence, that we resist the calls to, you know, devolve into a society that marginalizes and abuses people, and that someday maybe we will have that utopia of Star Trek. I would love to wake up tomorrow and that be the truth of the matter, but someday I think that it will happen if we continue to work to view every single human being as unique, as wonderful, and as our equal. So I encourage you this Thanksgiving to keep that in mind. Continue working towards a better world and a better tomorrow, because we can get there. We all try. So that's my final thoughts. Thank you to everyone who joined us tonight and gave some insightful thoughts and comments, even the ones about food right now going on in the chat.
Oh, yes, the food. Praise, food. Praise be for the food.
Yes. They're talking about curry fish.
Oh.
And Mexican food and Greek food. And
Making me hungry over here.
I like some Greek.
I tell you what, they all in the food conversation. That's what we're going to do for Christmas. We're going to have to do a Christmas food episode.
Right.
Let's talk about food the whole podcast. So
for real.
Oh, my. Tamales. Yes, tamales. So, any case, next, our next podcast.
We have a topic already?
Yes, we do.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to talk about Christianity according to St. John.
Oh, wow.
The epistles of St. John.
Isn't that the wives of the apostles?
Yeah, the wives of the apostles, the epistles. So we're going to talk about
Inside Joe.
According to St. John. Next time, focusing on the epistles of St. John, so which are some really good, if you've never read them, there's some really good epistles there. So, talks about love a lot.
Good topic.
So that will be our topic next week. Until then, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright, my friends.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on facebook.com/Expanding Your Faith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright.